my first drink to have with you. Here.
No, no, Rick, not tonight.
Especially tonight.
Oh, I'm so glad you two could make it to our wine and cheese party.
Oh, thank you.
Let's go inside. Yeah.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Copernicus called, and you are not the center of the universe.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay-sipping diva, welcoming you to another version of The Grape Show that's all about the grape in all its glory, answering all your questions about the finer side of the vine, and trying to confuse and help you along the way as much as possible. Kent, thank you very, very much for that opening. But yes, I hate to break. Yeah, well, no, I am the center of the universe, at least right now. As long as you're in that booth, you better remember.
I guess I'd better, huh? Toe the line.
Toe the line, please, sir. All right, we have an off-and-running show for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about ratings, and I'll get off on that tangent a little bit. But most importantly, we have a great guest today. We have Miss Anne Marie Adams. She is the chairperson of the Hilton Head Wine Festival. She's going to call in, talk a little bit about wine festivals, particularly hers, but also give you an idea of dynamics about judging systems and how people pick wines that we hope you're going to like. Of course, we're going to have your calls and your emails. And if we're going to continue to have your calls and your emails, we have to ask you, give us a call, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Let us know what's on your mind or what kind of wine questions you might have. Or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. So reach out, touch somebody, let us know what you're doing. Here on The Crush, we often refer to things called ratings. And interestingly enough, I've had a lot of questions. Well, what's a rating? What are the magazines? Why are you commenting on these scores and these numbers? I don't understand. And I'd never really given it a lot of thought until I was fortunate enough to be invited to be a judge for the Hilton Head Wine Festival. Hilton Head Island is in South Carolina. They've been doing a wine festival for over 20 years. It is one of the greatest festivals out there for those of you on the East Coast, simply because it's down on a lovely island. It's usually sunny. It's warm. It's held outdoors. It's usually held on the water. So it's just a lovely day of tasting wines and hanging out with your friends. So when they asked me to come down and be a judge, I jumped at the chance. I've never had the opportunity to actually express my opinion in this format. Others, definitely, yes, but not in that format. And I thought, well, let's give this a shot. So I go down, and there's a group of people who have been doing this on and off for about 20 years. Wines are submitted, and then the wines are tasted all blind. And what I mean blind is they serve you out in glasses. The glasses are just in front of you, and you don't know what's produced. You don't know where it's from. You know nothing about it. You just have to judge what you think about the wine. This is where all this is going. It's interesting to sit back and to have a format where you're sitting down, you have eight glasses in front of you, and you're supposed to decide which one of those Chardonnays is best. And this is where we're getting off on the tangent today, because when we talk about ratings, whether it's from the Wine Spectator, whether it's from the Wine Advocate, Wine and Food, WineX, anything you see on the website, ultimately it's subjective. No matter how long I sit there and look at those eight glasses of wine, the one I'm going to pick as the best wine of show is going to be what? The wine that I like the best. And in a way, that means that I am imparting my opinion on your palate. Try and say that five times really quickly. Certainly can't do it after some Chardonnay. And so when you look at things like that, that means that I want you all to stand back. And when you're looking at the glossy covers of the Spectator, when you're looking at the bottles of wine that have the pretty little gold seal on them saying they won gold at the San Francisco Wine Show, when you see the wines that have the orange on them that says I won gold at the Orange County Festival, keep in mind it's people like me, you hope, that are sitting back and judging and telling you which wines take the prize. And by taking the prize, we're encouraging you to drink. So that's what today's show is all about. We are going to rate the ratings. And ratings can be so subjective and so objective in the sense that you sit back and you look. Most people who are listening right now have seen or heard of the Wine Spectator. The Wine Spectator is the big, beautiful glossy created by Marvin Schenken that comes out every month with at least 150 to 300 wines rated. And they rate it on a 100-point scale. And they go through and they have tasters that sit down and taste all the wines blind. Here's what's interesting when you think about that. The people who are tasting these wines are true wine professionals. These are people who have made their lifeblood, literally, the vine. They know nothing about anything but wine. They live and breathe the grape. Their houses are totally encompassed in wine. They truly live in the vineyard. And in doing so, it tends to have a narrowing view. You know, obviously, these people have such refined palates that they're going to sit back and judge each wine on its merits. At least they're supposed to. So here's my question when we're looking at the rating system. I know what I went through when I judged for the Hilton Head Wine Festival. I know that I sat back and I tried every time I took a sip of wine. I was objective. Is it true to the varietal? Does it taste like Chardonnay? If it does taste like Chardonnay, does it fall in that price category? Does this taste like a $10 to $15 Chardonnay? If it does taste like the $10 to $15 Chardonnay, why do I like it? And that's one of the things we all have to remind ourselves for those of you on either side of it. If you're drinking a wine, ultimately whether you like it or not is the true test of whether or not you should be drinking it. And that usually falls in the category of it. Does it taste like wine? Does it taste like the varietal it's supposed to? And does it really excite you? Do you like what's in the glass? It's not whether or not the Wine Spectator gave it 98 points. It's not whether or not Robert Parker gave it 93. It's not whether I gave it a best of show at the Hilton Head Wine Festival. It's not as if the people in San Francisco Chronicle rated it number one for 2008. So I want you to be objective as we go through the show and we look at everything individually and talk about the different magazines and talk about their different standpoints and to understand what ratings are. I'm sure all of you are sitting back, oh, I know what ratings are, I understand it, but I really want to break it down for you during the show, and I promise I'm not going to get too far off on a soapbox. I promise I'm going to try and stick to the facts and only the facts and at least behave myself to a certain point so at least Kent doesn't come through the glass and tell me I'm doing it wrong. So as long as we are talking about ratings and keeping things objective, I figure I'll be subjective and go ahead and give you my opinions for the week. This week's wine recommendations, it's been fun lately. We're seeing a lot of new vineyards come in, so we're tasting a whole bunch of different wines. There is a new white wine that I just received across my desk. It's actually a great varietal called Symphony, and Ironstone Vineyards makes it. It's actually part of the Obsession collection. It's light, it's fragrant, it's very refreshing. It doesn't have the cloying nature that a Chardonnay does, but then again, it has enough acidity that you really don't think you're drinking anything overly fat or round. It's just a good balance for this time of year. As you look outside, whether you're looking at snow, whether you're looking at 70-degree weather, this is the wine that can carry you on through to spring and know that there's hope and daffodils will certainly be in bloom soon. So that's going to be the Ironstone Obsession. It is the Symphony grape, and I encourage you to go out, search it out. Should be $10 and under in your local retailers. And, of course, let me know what you think. For those of you who find it, email me, info@winecrush.com, and let me know if I hit the mark on your palate. That's my white wine selection. We'll have to wait a little bit for my red wine selection. Actually, I'll have to comb my brain cells and see if I actually drank anything red this week. But we have to take a small break right now. We're going to take your calls, your emails, and hopefully get you to open up to us a little bit about what you think about ratings and what your wine questions are. We'll be back in a minute.
A party? And you didn't invite us?
The Wine Crush.
You ain't getting rid of us that easy.
Here's Wanda Miller with the Speedway Club at Lowe's Motor Speedway.
What makes the Speedway Club different than any other club that a person might want to join?
It brings together people in the NASCAR world with great fans of racing. It's inexpensive. It's open year-round, it offers fantastic food, and a great staff that knows your name.
What does an avid race fan get out of joining the Speedway Club?
The club sits on top of Smith Tower at Lowe's Motor Speedway. It overlooks the front stretch. Part of the Speedway Club's surroundings are the best seats at that track.
Wanda, how about a special incentive for all the folks listening today on PRN?
Visit GoSpeedwayClub.com and click on the PRN offer box. They'll save 20% on a club membership to the best club in the United States.
Again, that's GoSpeedwayClub.com. The Speedway Club at Lowe's Motor Speedway.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line, but do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richardson Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
It's the Wine Crush.
Sitting here thinking about the times I roam on, different girls that I haven't known.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. We're off to a roaring start today, talking about ratings and rating the ratings. But right now, we are fortunate enough to have Miss Anne Marie Adams. She is the executive director of the Hilton Head Area Hospitality Association. She is the kind lady that included me in being a judge, and she's the one that gave me the inspiration for the show. But most importantly, she's a kind soul who would love to talk about her event here on The Crush today. So, having said that, Anne Marie, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Fantastic, and it's great to hear your voice again. And I'd love to take sole credit, but I have to tell you it's a community endeavor on the part of Hilton Head Island to produce an event of this magnitude.
I saw the work that you put in while I was down there, and it's all on your shoulders, and without your discipline, and definitely without the way you beat all of us into shape, it would never come to pass. So you're one hell of a woman there.
You know, when you have a passion and a vision and you have so many people willing to cheer you on, it's very easy.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about the Hilton Head Wine Festival and its history.
Sure. You know, what's interesting about this particular event, which I have only had the pleasure of 3 years in producing, it has existed for 24 years, starting with a very fledgling opening 24 years ago with 12 bottles in a parking lot.
And that sounds like our neighborhood party sometimes.
No, it does. And it has gravitated over the years to several different locations across the island. And you think about that, Hilton Head Island is only an 8-by-12-mile island, yet it has all these phenomenal venues attached to it. So we've actually had the pleasure of being at probably every point on the island at some point in our history. This year, we moved to the north end of the island with our public tasting and auction, which is 1 4-hour event of a 5-day planning of events. And so that's kind of taken our 12 bottles to 1,000 bottles in 2009 at the north end of the island at the Coastal Discovery Museum at Honeyhorn.
It's just a great event, and I tried to get that across to the listeners early. A lot of time we find ourselves talking about West Coast wine tasting, whether it's Zap, whether it's Sonoma County Festival. And the East Coast sometimes gets left out, or if the East Coast is included, it's always these highbrow, expensive charity auction, black tie, you have to have a minimum of $1 million to get in. And that's what I love so much about the Hilton Head Wine Festival. It is truly the everyman, everybody's wine tasting.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that we pat ourselves on the back is that we're still offering what we consider a value for any consumer, whether that is somebody who is highbrow or somebody who is a complete novice who thinks, I'd like to get to know a little bit more about a wide variety of wines, and I have this, you know, 4-day period that I can, you know, devote myself to it. And the beauty of food and wine lovers, whether it is the person who consumes food or sips wine, they will devote time in their personal schedule as part of their professional endeavors to carve out time to taste and drink wine. And so for us, at a $40 ticket price for the public tasting and auction, again, another one, that's a one event of many, we've created over the 24-year history an opportunity for anyone to, you know, imbibe, get to know, learn about, expand their horizons as it relates to a wide variety of product. What we did 2 years ago, because we recognized there were those that found that large venue of 5,000 people a little overwhelming, and we created what we now have in our second year, a grand tasting the prior night, where we showcase in a limited venue of about 200 people high-end premium wines in a 2-hour food and wine reception. And so we found that there were those that would choose that type of atmosphere over the public tasting. That is a different price tag. That's $150 per person. So we do, at this stage, 24 years later, offer a wide variety of events, some at the upper end, some at the lower end, that, and of course, some may say $150 is not an extensive ticket price for the wines that they are being afforded to taste that evening. So we do have value attached to what we have to offer. The other thing, Laura, is someone like you in the North Carolina region or even the Atlanta region, this is a drive market for you. You can slip down here in a 3-4-hour time frame and have an entire weekend and get home in a reasonable fashion in a reasonable amount of time and have had the luxury of a large food and wine festival, but at the same time have access to all the culinary talent and some of the extraordinary experiences we have as part of the island itself.
And of course, then there is the island itself. So,
you know, sand, surf, and mostly sun. Though this week I would say to you, we were probably a little disappointing for some of our Northeasterners that are with us.
Yes, they actually had the snow part of it as well.
They had snow, but we actually just have the nippy weather. We do have the sunshine, so we're blessed with that. But when you think about Hilton Head Island, an 8-by-12-mile island, which basically has retained its environmental desire to stay green, we're offering quite a bit for someone who's looking to rest, relax, and rejuvenate at the same time,
getting
to eat.
Play golf, go spa, taste wines. Anne-Marie,
exactly.
I think one of the neatest things about your festival, and this is why I am really behind it, is if you look on the East Coast, there are very few wine festivals that get together and actually have a judging part of it. Y'all actually get together, you come up, these are the best wines. We had professionals sit down, taste the wines, and we were all laughing. I guess about 5 years ago, I was up in Toronto, and I had a glass of Kendall Jackson Cabernet. And they brought the bottle to the table, and there was a little gold tag attached to it saying Best of Show at the Hilton Head Wine Festival. And this extended all the way up into Toronto, Canada. And I think it's great that y'all take the initiative to do that. Will you tell our listeners a little bit about the judging and how you got involved in that?
sure. I think one thing that makes this particular venue stand out is that we do have that international wine judging and competition as part of the overall experience. What most people don't realize is all of that transpires in the month of February. We bring a host of judges in, and you had the pleasure of being a first-year judge this year, to the island in the beginning of February, and we give that opportunity for our wine entrants, which we start soliciting in the month of August, year prior, and all the way through January, we accept entries from wineries both on the East and West Coast, but also outside the United States, to have the opportunity to judge in a market venue that they may find important, and or they may want to introduce their product. We find a lot of boutique wineries or new product lines that find that having this option of the judging and competition, as well as the medal status that we award with it, something that proves valuable for their product in terms of their overall distribution. We'd like to think that because we are a blind tasting, there is also the opportunity for wines that in other venues may not stand out or seem exceptional, but because of that opportunity, they have that item that they can add to their portfolio. And having those leveraging marketing tools, things like putting a medal on a wine, hanging a certificate on your wall, being able to recognize themselves through their website and other venues that they have secured medals at very different statuses throughout the year. So it's not unusual. I'm not surprised to hear that you had that experience with someone in Toronto.
Well, it's just great, and I believe it adds more gravity to the overall wine presentation, wine festival that you do. Hey, here's a group of people. We take it seriously. We want to make sure that people are drinking quality wines. We'll go through, we'll prejudge, we'll look at them. But then, hey, y'all come down. You taste the wines. You get with the winemakers. You put the wine in your glass. And above all, you let the consumer taste everything and make their own decisions. That's one of the reasons why I'm just such a huge fan of what y'all do.
Well, if we didn't have education, we wouldn't be doing our jobs, Laura. You know, I think it's one thing to allow people to continue to taste wine, but there's a whole other avenue of if they haven't tasted wine, shame on us for not introducing it to them.
Exactly. And I think I would encourage all of our listeners to think about going to the Hilton Head Wine Festival. Anne-Marie, we're wrapping up real quick. What's the website? Our listeners can go to see the website.
Sure, www.hiltonheadhospitality.org. Click in the festivals, select the Hilton Head Wine and Food Festival, and the complete schedule of all 5 days of our activities is listed there. We are still selling tickets for our venues. Always best to buy them in advance.
Perfect, and we'll have a link on our website. Anne-Marie, thank you very much for being part of The Crush, and we look forward to talking to you after the show.
Cheers always.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
8. We've worked together for years.
7. I'm the parking attendant. I park your car every day.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. We speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. I went to summer camp with your son last year.
4. I'm your old friend. We went to high school together.
Someone you know is in need.
3. I work at the gas station. I pump your gas.
2. I'm your neighbor. Our kids are classmates.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help?
1. We live next door to each other.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's the Wine Crush.
Back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and today we are rating the ratings. We are going and looking at each one of these magazines and websites that actually put a score on wines and trying to explain it to you, our listener, what exactly that means to you. Pretty much, if you went onto the internet right now and Googled wine ratings, you would get 10 million different hits. And how that translates into how many people are rating wines, let me put it to you like I think I put it to you in the opening. A wine rating is nothing more than an opinion. The opinion may be based by a lot of intellectual facts. It may be based by personal profiles. It may be based by a lot of research and a lot of history. But ultimately, when you put it all together, there is no true way to quantify a wine. You can say it's good. You can say it's bad. You can say it's 93 points. You can say it's 2 puffs. But ultimately, for you, the consumer, there's no way to tell if you're going to agree with what someone else's opinion is. And to give you an idea of how subjective these are, when you think about ratings, what a wine scores, you think about things like the Wine Spectator, the Wine Advocate, Wine and Spirits, Food and Wine. And just on a lark, I went through and I pulled the top 10 wines, or the top 10 wineries from most of these major magazines. When you look at the Wine Spectator, top 8, top 9, Casa La Pistole, Quinta de Costo, Chateau Girard, Pio Cesare, Chateau Beaucassel, Molly Duker. When you look at Wine and Spirits, you have Barefoot, you have Boomtown, you have Chateau St. Michel, you have Hanley, you have Montpelier, you have Snoqualmie, you have Sterling. When you look at Food and Wine, you have Foxglove, you have Brander, you have A to Z, you have Raymond, you have Columbia Crest, Edmunds. And when you look at the San Francisco Chronicle, even a local wine guy, you have Amavi, you have Chimney Rock Elevage, you have Coruscant, you have Dominus, you have Hollywood and Vine. Here's what's interesting is these magazines are all at the top of their field. They are all respected. The Wine Spectator is respected by collectors. Wine and spirits are used by industry insiders. Food and wine is done by the gourmands and read by the people who are really into the cooking part of it. San Francisco Chronicle is your local wino's reference point. Are they wrong? No, they're not wrong. They didn't all agree on the same wines, but it doesn't mean the wines are bad, and it doesn't mean that the wines they didn't select are bad either. It just means that everyone has a different viewpoint. And that's what it comes down to. When you're looking for ratings, whether you're going to trust to collect, whether you're going to trust to drink, I encourage you, find somebody you relate to. Find somebody who explains wines in terms that you understand. Find someone who suggests things. Whether you are a type A personality and you like words like bold, exciting, or passionate, or whether you are more of a quiet person who leans toward the left brain mass side and sees, okay, well, this is 93 points. 93 points to you is tangible. You can understand that. Ratings don't mean anything unless you can find a benchmark for them. And that's what I'm seeking to do today. So for those of you looking at it, those of you who follow the Wine Spectator ratings, these are for collectors generally. Yes, there are some values in it, but when you look at the top 10, the top 100 of Wine Spectator, you're hard-pressed to find anything under $50. I don't know about you, but that suggests it's for collectors. For those of you who like to cook while you're drinking, I personally just drink instead of cooking. Food and Wine does a great job with picking top 10 wines that pair well with food, that are easy to find, that are good values for the table. So those are two of the big ones. See how you relate to those. Right now, however, I'm going to find out how you relate to me by taking a couple phone calls off the wine line. For those of you who have commentary, and I'm sure when I'm talking about ratings, we have commentary, call us 877-4-CRUSH-1, like our kind Miss Tracy did. Tracy is from South Carolina. Welcome to the wine line.
I had read somewhere recently, and I was just wanting to know if this was true, that it was important to be aware of your wine glass, that it gave your wines a different type of taste, and you needed to be careful of that. And I was just wondering how true that was, or they were just trying to get you to buy a particular wine glass.
Tracy, you always have to be aware of your wine glass. Be aware of where it is, be aware of how much wine is in it, and whether or not it needs to be refilled. That is about as far as you need to be aware of your wine glass. That, quite seeing that Kent took mine again, makes me realize you have to track down the little things, too. They tend to run off when people have their hands on them. It is important to rate a wine glass and look at a wine glass depending on how sophisticated you want to be. I have drunk wines using a corkscrew and a hammer out of the bottle. There have been times like that. So as far as glassware, if you are sitting down doing a tasting with friends, it doesn't matter as long as, number one, it's clean. Do not have leftover dish soap in it. Do not have any kind of dirt or anything in it. And when you put it to your nose, ideally you don't smell anything. There are purists out there, and my friends right now are definitely going, oh, you're definitely one of those, that insist on having a stem on wine glasses because your hand can change the ambient temperature of a wine. You know, they have the new little glasses out. Riedel started it with Riedel O's where they just sit on the counter, which are great for people who drink like I do because I have a propensity to knock things over. But other than that, every time you pick up the glass, you warm up the wine. And by warming up the wine, you change the flavor or change the aromas on it. People will also say, and I have seen this done, that the shape of the glass can determine how a wine smells and how a wine tastes. I actually did mess with my sales force like this one day. I had a whole bunch of Riedel stemware and I had a whole bunch of our regular stemware. I poured the same wine in both glasses and I asked them, which wine do you like better? Invariably, my whole group said they liked the wine in the Riedel stemware better, simply because they said it smelled better, it tasted better. I think they're all a bunch of snobs, and I think they just enjoy drinking out of nice stemware, but ultimately it was the same wine in both glasses. So if you're a neophyte and you're just starting out in wine, the only criteria, make sure the glass is clean. Whether it's a fine Riedel stemware, whether it's part of the Sommelier series, or whether it's just a little mason jar, make it clean. Past that, there are no special things about glasses that you need to be concerned with. Those of you doing professional tastings, yes, make sure your bulbs come in at the top so that you catch more aromas. Make sure there's a stem to it so you don't change the temperature and the flavor of the wine. But you know my mentality around here. Even if it comes out of the bottle, as long as you enjoy your company, it doesn't matter what it's served in. I had some of the best glasses of my life out of a Dixie cup. Tracy, I hope that helps you, but if it doesn't, please give us a call back. 877-4-CRUSH-1. I am sure we have another victim on the wine line. Coming up now, we have, I don't know who we have, but I'm sure it's going to be an entertaining question. It's Jan. Jan, welcome to the wine line.
I'd like to know Laura's first glass of wine, what type it was, where she was at, and did she really like it the first time, or did wine have to grow on her?
Oh, Jan, I have a feeling someone set you up for this, that, or you have too much time on your hands. Jan, my first glass of wine was when I was about 11 years old, and my great uncle Mint had made it. It was made out of strawberries, and it was cut with Everclear. That was the first sip of wine I ever had, and I swore to God I'd never have wine again. Actually, I finally did have wine again. I was about 20 years old, and I thought I was quite sophisticated because we had been drinking Sutter Home White Zinfandel at the Stone Mountain Laser Show, and we decided that we were going to buy up that night, and we were going to have a glass of Behringer White Zinfandel. So in answer to your question, the true first glasses of wine I had were Sutter Home and Behringer White Zin, and yes, I love them. And unfortunately, it has led me to this insidious path of drinking Chardonnays, Cabernets, Merlots, and anything I can get my hands on. So hopefully all of you will find a path as well as I did. We all had that bad first sip, whether we were 11, whether we were 21, whether we were 36. But those of you that have, please do get past it as I did. You will find something out there that you will like. All right, Jan, thank you for taking me down memory lane. And since I wandered so far off, I'm going to have to take a small break, but I'll get to more of the calls off the wine line when we return.
A toast, yeah? To high treason. That's what these men were committing when they signed the Declaration. Had we lost the war, they would have been hanged, beheaded, drawn and quartered. Oh, my personal favorite. Had their entrails cut out and burned. So, here's to the men who did what was considered wrong in order to do what they knew was right.
The Wine Crush.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Here's Wanda Miller with the Speedway Club at Lowe's Motor Speedway.
What makes the Speedway Club different than any other club that a person might want to join?
It brings together people in the NASCAR world with great fans of racing. It's inexpensive. It's open year-round. It offers fantastic food and a great staff that knows your name.
What does an avid race fan get out of joining the Speedway Club?
The club sits on top of Smith Tower at Lowe's Motor Speedway. It overlooks the front stretch. Part of the Speedway Club's surroundings are the best seats at that track.
Wanda, how about a special incentive for all the folks listening today on PRN?
Visit GoSpeedwayClub.com and click on the PRN offer box. They'll save 20% on a club membership to the best club in the United States.
Again, that's GoSpeedwayClub.com. The Speedway Club at Lowe's Motor Speedway.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean...
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
The Wine Crush.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening to the Rating the Rating show here on the show that's all about the grape. We touched briefly on ratings, explaining to you that they are nothing more than opinions in print, whether it's on the web or it's in a magazine. But I am trying to give you a guideline for those of you who are trying to find the best opinion to suit you, which of course is going to be mine, but past that, we have to give you another outlet. So two other major magazines that do a lot of ratings. One is the Connoisseur's Guide, which gives little puffs. Honestly, I've never understood the puff. Maybe if it was some kind of herbage or maybe it was something tobacco-y, maybe I could understand the puffs. But Connoisseur's Guide rates things up to 3 puffs. And so it gives a little bit broader scope to things, but it has really nice descriptions of the wine. So if you're into reading and trying to figure out the right verbiage and figure out if it matches your personality, that is a great option for you. The other, of course, is the Granddaddy Wine Advocate. This is Robert Parker's magazines. He is interesting because he takes no advertising, he doesn't taste blind, and he employs some of the best palates on the planet to go through and taste different wines. Robert Parker is the true connoisseur's collector's guidepost. The people who want to collect wine and lay it down generally pay attention to Robert Parker. For those of you who are just drinking casually day in and day out, the Wine Advocate will probably give you a headache by the time you get through reading all the words and trying to understand the thesaurus that's going to have to sit next to you. So if you're truly in the business and truly want to die hard, Parker's definitely the man for you. But other than that, I'd pass him up for either the puffs or the scores from the Wine Spectator. The last one I'm going to touch on is really one that I think is my favorite because I'm an industry insider anyway, and that's the Wine and Spirits. Wine and Spirits does something every year called a buying guide, and they do a restaurant poll. And the Wine and Spirits restaurant poll will give you an idea of what everybody else is drinking. What they do is they go around to restaurants, they ask for the wine list to be submitted, they sit down, and I just pity those poor interns who have to sit and count and think, one Columbia Crest, one Chateau St. Michel. They'll sit there for hours. Anyway, what they do is they take all these wine lists, they add them up, and see what wines are most represented around the country on these lists. This is the great guidepost for neophyte wine drinkers. This is the great guidepost for people like me who are looking for something different. Pick up and see what's in the restaurants. The restaurants are always about 25 to 30, 40 days ahead of what's going on in retail stores as far as what's hot and what's cool. Anyway, if you sit back, read the Wine and Spirits restaurant poll, they will tell you what everyone's drinking and whether or not it's good. Obviously, if wine is on 826 lists around the country, they've got to be doing something right. So for those of you looking to learn and take it to your local grocery store, that's the one I would recommend. All right, before my producer gets carried away, I've got to do the one thing to aggravate him. I have my news item for today. And for our faithful listeners, you can guess what direction this is going to go as the little Frenchman in the beret with his baguette is beating on the door again. Coming from Reuters, out of Yahoo.com, France eyes tourism to help invigorate the wine sector. French authorities are targeting tourism as a part of an effort to bolster the country's wine industry against global competition. While France is already the world's most popular tourist destination, with the wine a major part of its appeal, the trade thinks it can go a lot further in tapping into visitor interest. The government will unveil on Tuesday a body to promote wine tourism, headed by international tourism and leisure industry veteran Paul De Bruel. "We have fallen behind, and we have rested a bit on our laurels," says Paul. Do you know what Paul's answer into making, I don't know, wine country a little more tourist-friendly in France is? They are looking for the region to promote labels with the wine producers to sit back and agree, one, they can be read. Two, they want to offer visitors a great level of service, meaning They're going to post the hours the winery is open, and they're going to hope they can find someone who speaks English to put in the tasting room occasionally. So let me get this straight. The French are trying to encourage us to go see their wineries, and their idea of catering to us and customer service is to post the hours that the vineyard is going to be open and to have someone that speaks English. Hallelujah. I just did not know where my pick of the week was going to come from, but thank you, France, for teaching me what customer service is. So for all of those who need something from me in the next week, I'll let you know maybe what my hours are going to be, and hopefully I can find someone who can speak a common language with you. What better service could you ask for than that? All right, before the baguette actually comes to the window, I think I'll leave that alone, and I will take another caller. I will take from the wine line, Billy from New Mexico. Hopefully Billy is not French.
We've all heard the phrase, we will serve no wine before it's time. Well, my question, Laura, is how do I know when it's time?
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Billy. Of course it's time. All right, we will serve no wine before it's time. I think that was the great catch line of Paul Masson, I believe. Was it Paul Masson?
Orson Welles used to say
that. Yeah, Orson Welles. I can't remember if it was Paul Masson or Gallo. It all depends on what time, what place, and what you're serving. I think when you were looking at the wines that good old Orson was advocating, anytime it came off the bottling line and you could find a corkscrew, that would be admirable. Here is kind of the golden rule we look at in wines, whether it's red or white. If you spend more than $70 at a retail shop on it, it's not time to drink it. Lay it down. Let it sit in a closet for 2 years. Let it sit somewhere where it's not getting vibrated, not getting any light, not getting trampled on, knocked around. But ultimately, 90% of what's sold in this country under $30 is meant to be consumed now. The day you take it home off the shelf. Take it home, put a slight chill on it, open it up, and put it in a glass. I think that's the best idea I can give you. Obviously, when you start looking at California Cabernets, when you look at French Burgundies, when you look at French Bordeaux, there are wines that are designed to be aged 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You know, we talked about the Billionaire's Vinegar book by Benjamin Wallace, where they're opening up wines from the 1700s and still finding them viable. Is that realistic day in and day out for you and I? I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. And I really don't think I'd want the liability of trying to find a wine from 1700 and try and find something nice to say about it. I can't find nice things to say about most things today. So as far as serving wine before it's time, any time is always good. And any time you can find a corkscrew or, as I mentioned earlier, a screwdriver and a hammer, you're good to go. Billy, I hope that helped because, once again, my producer is making me take a break and go answer to the French Embassy. So more on the Wine Crush when we return.
Yes, America's favorite program will be back. You'll get more laughs, more fun, more thrill.
This is the Wine Crush.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Here's Wanda Miller with the Speedway Club at Lowe's Motor Speedway.
What makes the Speedway Club different than any other club that a person might want to join?
It brings together people in the NASCAR world with great fans of racing. It's inexpensive. It's open year-round, it offers fantastic food, and a great staff that knows your name.
What does an avid race fan get out of joining the Speedway Club?
The club sits on top of Smith Tower at Lowe's Motor Speedway. It overlooks the front stretch. Part of the Speedway Club's surroundings are the best seats at that track.
Wanda, how about a special incentive for all the folks listening today on PRN?
Visit GoSpeedwayClub.com and click on the PRN offer box. They'll save 20% on a club membership to the best club in the United States.
Again, that's GoSpeedwayClub.com. The Speedway Club at Lowe's Motor Speedway.
Well, howdy! Thanks for coming to Big Bubba's. We got a mess of used cars. What can we do for you?
We're looking for,
something cute.
Well, here's a beauty. A 99 model with a moonroof. As a bonus, we'll throw in a leaking gas tank. You could be driving and kaboom! Adds that zing of excitement.
You got any other cars?
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
A bottle of white, a bottle of red.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And time has just flown out from under us today in this hour show. We have been discussing ratings and trying to help everybody get a grasp on what all the ratings are from the Wine Spectator, the Wine Advocate, Connoisseur Guide, WineX, and ultimately what I'm trying to get across, probably poorly to you today, is that ratings are simply opinions. Now, I am not bashing any of these magazines that seek to help you understand wine. They have served a great purpose. Wine Spectator has definitely done wonders for bringing people into the wine world. Robert Parker has done amazing things by getting people to collect things worldwide. I do firmly believe he's changed the way most of us drink around the world. But what I am trying to relay to you, these jobs are not easy. When you're working for these magazines and you're sitting back and you're tasting wines, just like we were talking about the Hilton Head Wine Festival being a judge, it is very hard for people to sit there with a whole bunch of wines in front of them and to remain objective about them. They inevitably are going to put a taste of their own opinion into what they're telling you to drink. So this is what I ask you to do. I want you, ratings or not, to find somebody you trust. And that's the best you can hope for, whether that someone has a website, whether that's a magazine, whether it's a paper, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's off Twitter, Facebook, a retail store, a restaurant, a wine bar, a stranger on the street. But most importantly, whether it's a radio show like The Wine Crush, who can tell you the best things for your personality to drink, that's what you need to strive for. Find someone that matches what you like. Well, hopefully we are that here at The Wine Crush, because I have got to say goodbye and wrap up another show. So until we meet again, just remember, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, and always, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk at you next week.